Again with a word of prayer. Father, once again, we give you thanks for this glorious day. We thank you that you've gathered us together. Thank you for the good food that we've enjoyed, and the good coffee, Lord, tokens of your goodness. And now, Lord, as we consider your word and what your word has to say about serving you and your church, Lord, we pray that you would encourage our hearts, challenge our hearts, and be glorified. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Most of you will remember last Lord's Day, our sermon was on Psalm 145, and we talked about the greatness and the goodness of God, his graciousness towards us, and how he sustains all. He's gracious and merciful. Great is the Lord, highly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. And in light of that, as I was thinking about what we might want to discuss today, in light of who we are as sons of the King, and he is the great one who is so far beyond all that we can fathom, what are we doing as far as serving the church? What is our response? And, you know, some have a consumer mentality. I don't think many here, but, you know, the idea that, well, what can I get out of church? That's, you know, that's what we, you know, this restaurant, what can I get for how much? What's the happy hour prices or whatever, you know? And this consumer mentality is sadly gone into the church. You know, it's the Burger King, have it your way kind of mentality, filtering into the church. You know, is there large auditorium? Is there lights? Is there fog machines? Is there electric guitar? Is there drums, guitar solos? You know, whatever it is there a coffee shop? You know, all of these kinds of things people are trying to look for. And that's not what we should be looking for. What should we be looking for in a church? What are the most important factors?
Teaching.
Okay.
Pastors bringing the word truthfully and honestly.
Okay. Hearing the word truthfully and honestly. What else?
Spirit of gentleness and love within, but also that manifests itself without. Jesus says that you know them by the love for one another, but also we have to love those out.
Right.
So not being all inward focused, but being outward focused too.
Yeah,
having
the spirit of gentleness be very present. That complements the teaching. You want both, not just one.
Yeah.
How can we can be used?
Okay.
I think that's one thing that is to look at. How can we be part?
Right. Yeah. As far as we, you know, having a role, you know, and serving the Lord. Years ago, when the Pony Express existed, which only lasted for a few years, there was an ad in the San Francisco paper that said, wanted, young, skinny, expert, rider, orphans preferred. This will be serious engagement and costly. In other words, it's going to be a tough job. And the Pony Express, there was 5 to 6 different stations. The rider would ride until the horse ran out of gas, essentially. They would change horses and go again and go again and go again. And so the young, skinny lad had, you know, he'd be skinny and maybe you'd qualify, Calvin. although he's getting taller. You know, the idea is that, you know, you had to be in shape and expendable because it's a tough job, you know, going through weather and all of that. And so, too, in the church, serving God is a discipline. We can't do it half-heartedly. There needs to be a serious engagement of the mind. What are we doing? Are we just kind of, you know, going through the motions, or are we thinking about what we're doing? And the testimony of the New Testament church is that it's not the building, but rather the people that make up the church. And when we serve, the gospel needs to be our motivation. In other words, we're serving out of gratitude towards God, and as a way to demonstrate the gospel unto others. I've used this illustration several times, but some think the church is a cruise ship. You know, they get in their recliner, they order a, you know, exotic tropical fruit beverage or something. Could you serve me? Could you bring me some more? You know, could you get this? Could you do that? Could you scratch my back? You know, that kind of thing. But they don't realize that it's really a Navy ship. And a Navy ship... A Navy ship, is there, how many people? Everybody has a job, right? I mean, even the top dog, he's got a job, and the XO and all of that. And so So there's everyone has a job, and that's, you know, I don't like calling it a job, but a ministry or something to do to contribute to the overall health of the church. And I'm encouraged by so many here joyfully serving. I know I'm preaching largely to the choir, but I thought we would remind ourselves of these things. So let's turn to 1 Peter 4. Look at a couple short verses, and then we're going to jump to Ephesians. First Peter 4, verses 9 or 10 and 11. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Well, there's a lot here, and we're going to unpack this, but first of all, it's each one has a special gift. So if you have a special gift, to employ it in serving one another as what? Good stewards, right? And then you've got the classifications, speaking and serving, but notice the motivation at the end. It's that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And then it goes on, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So if that's not a motivation, I don't know what is. So some object and say, I don't have any spiritual gift, therefore they're given to sloth and laziness and that kind of thing. No Christian can lay claim that, oh, this is my gift and it's my ability and I've done this. It's because we receive our gifts from God. He is, the Holy Spirit in particular, is the giver of gifts. And your gift, whatever that may be, doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Church of Christ. So it's not yours to go, that's mine, you know. It belongs to the church. Romans 12, one of the five lists that we have of different gifts, says this: just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, we who are many are one body in Christ and individual members of it. And one commentator described a gift, if you're thinking about that, any talent or ability which is empowered by the Holy Spirit and able to be used in the ministry of the church. So oftentimes it might be our natural giftedness that, you know, that we're born with, as it were, like our natural disposition and makeup and so forth, but it's, as it were, sanctified by the Spirit and strengthened for the use within the church. That may be the case. Some are altogether supernatural. Now there's five different lists for New Testament gifts. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 at the beginning, and then 1 Corinthians 12 at the end, Ephesians 4, which we're going to look at in a minute, and then what we just looked at here, and Peter. And all of these lists are different, and there's no one gift that's on every single list, and none of the texts list all of the gifts, and so it's safe to say that there is no exhaustive list. And so we'll talk about what that may look like. And so when you think about each child of God and each son and daughter of the King, our gifts are like unique snowflakes in a sense, right? There's, you know, I don't have the exact same gift Jason has. Jason brings some to the table that I can't reproduce, you know, or fingerprints. You might think of that. There's no exact match. I'm going to save not looking in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, and assume that you're somewhat familiar with that. But the Holy Spirit sovereignly oversees the distribution of these gifts, and that's clearly set out in 1 Corinthians 12. So there's no way to buy or earn your gifts. I don't like my gift. I'm going to go on eBay and buy a different one. It doesn't work like that. So we are called to be good stewards by serving one another. Now, this language of serving one another and all of that, what do you think it is implied with that? Does it matter what church we go to? Do we need to be a member of a church?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's implied here that if you're serving one another, it's not one another generically, kind of, which I'll bounce around kind of thing, but that you're connected to a body, right? And so you're serving in that way. So what responsibility do we have if we know how we can serve and ways we can serve? Do we have a responsibility to serve? Yeah.
I think that's a command right there.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. Yeah. And what do you think Peter means by employ it? Sounds with some employers at the table, you know. What does that mean?
Use it,
yeah. Yeah. And it comes from the word where we get deacon. So it's that idea of serving. And actually, I was looking again in my Greek lexicon. There's actually five Greek words that translate the word serve in our language. And the different ones, one is associated to worship and spiritual service, where Paul says, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. It's like a spiritual libation. This is like an offering unto God. Doula, which we get, you know, doulos, slave, like to be a servant in that way. Diakona, which is where we get deacon from, both the noun and the verb. And then there's two other lesser ones that are actually used that maybe occur three times. So a diverse amount of Greek words, you know, translate the idea of service. So in light of being sons of the King, 1 Corinthians 12:12, for even as the body is one, and yet as many members, all of the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. So not using your spiritual gift actually weakens the church of Christ in some way. Now, don't get me wrong, it doesn't weaken Christ's sacrifice. He's blood-bought every single one of his elect, and that there's nothing that can shake that. But the strength and vibrancy of a church is when each one is contributing and serving in whatever way that God has made clear. Because no one has your unique, exact gift and your expression of that gift. And as I mentioned before, so we're like, you know, spiritual fingerprints. There's no two that are exactly alike. And so there's some contribution, however small it be, that we benefit from. Provides healthy diversity in the Church of Christ. So we're to serve with gladness too. You know, the ancient kings, if their servant came to bring, you know, cupbearer or whatever, we kind of learned this from Nehemiah too, and you're like downcast or whatever, off with his head. Get him out. I don't want him around me. You better be glad. You know, you're coming to serve. And so too, to serve the Lord. It should be motivated by the gospel, not by guilt, but motivation by the gospel. So each one has a gift. We're to employ it and use it. Verse 10, these two broad categories, this is probably the shortest, broadest sort of list. Verse 11 again, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. So the quality of the speaking, and these are the speaking type gifts, okay? It's more than just preaching, speaking type gifts. The quality of the speaking is to be just as though it were the utterances of God, okay? And what might that look like? What areas of ministry? Preaching, for sure.
Encouraging? Well, anything that's vocal, singing, evangelism.
Counseling.
Yeah, so biblical counseling, exhorting, admonishing, preaching, teaching, all of that. And anything that involves the mouth, right? And so even praying, and public praying for sure. And what does it mean, the utterances of God? Does this mean we're speaking the very words of God? No. It doesn't mean that, and it doesn't mean surely that we're bringing new revelation, because the utterances of God is logia, which is translated two times in the New Testament as the oracles of God. In Romans 3:2, the Jews who received the oracles of God, that's what this word is. So it's translated utterances here. So the idea is that it's with seriousness and careful articulation. In other words, you realize that words carry weight, and it's not half, you know, slat, like the proverb says, you know, your tongue can be a sword, you know, cutting people down. And so with carefulness and serious articulation as the idea, it certainly is not teaching modern-day prophets. I know there's a lot of people that call themselves prophets today. It is definitely not teaching that. And so the one who is speaking, because this is supposed to be the utterances of God, so a serious articulation and careful weight to the words, it needs to be done. You don't mix in your own opinions and, you know, this and that and things that aren't primary to the Word of God, especially in that teaching role. But when done accurately, God speaks through the man that is speaking, especially in the stated meeting of the church. So, you know, the Holy Spirit is pleased to empower and to speak through the man preaching. I mean, there's several times when I'm preaching, I don't have anything of this sort in my notes, and the Holy Spirit brings it and it comes out and it tends to complement whatever section that was in, and that's the Holy Spirit. But then there's serving gifts. Everyone can't speak, so the church needs those, needs hands as well, right? And there's no less dignity in the serving gifts. I mean, they're just as vital, right, as the speaking gifts. The leaders of the church are to equip the members to do the work of ministry. In fact, we can turn back to Ephesians 4 now. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, this whole section down to verse 16 has the idea of building up, edifying, unity in the body, the mature man, these kinds of things. So, but notice it's Christ. And actually, if you go up to verse 7, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So you see that in verse 7, okay, the measure of Christ's gift. And then verse 10 and 11, or I'm sorry, 11, and these are the various, and again, that's not an exhaustive list. But the purpose in verse 12 is for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, and the ultimate purpose for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain, verse 13, to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we're no longer children being tossed here and there by the waves and carried around by every wind of doctrine or the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. And verse 16, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So the main verb there in verse 16 is causes the growth. That's how it's translated there. And we're going to come back to verse 16. Let me finish with the serving gifts here. So the word that's translated deacon or diakonos for serving literally means waiting on tables, right? So that's in Acts 6 when the first deacons were established. That's what they were doing. They were waiting on tables. It means serving in a very broad sense. Again, no less dignity whatsoever. And so what gifts would fall under the serving gifts? Of course, this is very, very broad, but just think of some.
Well, the first category was the mouth. The other one is the rest of the body. Yeah. So everything that involves the physical labor in a sense.
Okay.
So setting up, breaking down,
okay,
serving food, cooking food, even caring for the needy.
Mercy ministries, yeah, right? Yeah.
Nursery.
Nursery.
Oh, I thought you just said that.
Mercy.
Mercy.
Nursery. So things like that, more on even giving.
people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Print ministry, you know, printing stuff, hospitality, opening up the home, you know,
music,
yeah. Usher, yep, sound. You know, the list could go on and on. And what is the source for this type of service? It is with the strength that God supplies. In other words, God gives the strength for us to serve in that way. And that's right out of the text in Peter. So to supply means to provide lavishly and to provide in abundance. So if he's the one that's supplying the strength, he's going to give it lavishly. We don't have to worry about, oh, maybe I'm not going to have the strength to do this. No, God's promised to give you the strength. And we need to not, Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary in well-doing. Sometimes people can fall into that. Sometimes it's self-pity. Sometimes it's like somebody hasn't thanked me for my ministry for a while, and they're just taking me for granted. And, you know, you allow the devil to start speaking into your head, and, you know, it's what can cause division. Also, there's a danger of doing it for the applause of men. You know, Florin can blow some wonderful brass instruments, right? You know, sometimes I could think, boy, if only I could play the sax like him or something, you know. But you know, it's like, you know, you can't fall into that. And also, you can't, you know, do it for the applause of men. Our ultimate goal is the glory of God.
Yes. It starts off in the First Peter text about doing everything out of love.
Mm-hmm.
Charity.
Yeah, that's right. 4:8, yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it's, and then also, be fervent in your love for one another. Love covers a multitude of sins. In verse 9, be hospitable to one another, and it even says without complaint.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but right. We also have to consider, you know, because, you know, even in our church, we have cases that some of the people that serve get burned out.
Yeah. We need to balance it out.
So
yeah.
We need to balance it out, and then just like the, you know, the Bible says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And having the right motivation in the heart, it doesn't nullify the being what do you call that? Being sometimes when you get tired and burn out, the thing that overcomes you is your own the weakness of something. Of the flesh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, physically. So we always have to, because some of our members are just they just want to do everything. And
yeah,
I have to personally sometimes stop them.
Well, and Steve and I do too, and we caution people. We don't people overextending themselves. So there's an abuse like anything, right?
Yes.
I gotta have my hand in everything. Like, no, you don't have to do everything. You know, Spurgeon says this: it is an abomination to let grass grow up to your knees and do nothing towards making it into hay. God never sent a man into the world to be idle. So, standing around idle and the grass is up to your knees. Anyway, classic Spurgeon. So, what is your gift? Whatever that is, serve with humility. Be faithful with the small things. And maybe you don't know exactly what that looks like, just start helping with the basic things, you know. Far too many don't serve because God has not told them what to do. And many gifts are simply ordinary natural abilities. You got a strong back. You've got muscles. You got, you know, stuff needs to be picked up, chairs, whatever. Tomorrow's a fellowship meal. There'll be, you know, cleanup and stuff like that. What I want to do is zoom in on Ephesians 4:16 before we end and just unpack this a little bit because it's pretty profound. The body is fitted and held together by God. So let's just unpack this. Reading verse 16 again. From whom the whole body is fitted and held together. From whom is speaking of Christ. The whole body, it's everyone without exception. The idea of oneness and unity. So from whom the whole body, that's every single member, Christ, every single member, and then these two participles, being fitted together and held together. What does the ESV have there?
Joined and held together.
Joined and held together. So, fitted together, held together by what every joint supplies. And the idea is that our unity and our growth together as a whole is reinforced by the idea of being fitted together and uniquely fitted together and then held together like glue. O'Brien in his commentary says this, this idea of fitting, it indicates the ongoing unified growth to the body. It is not shapeless, but it is ordered and united, fitly framed and knitted together. It's a present tense, so it's an ongoing work, and it's in the passive voice. We're not doing the fitting from an outside source. So God is the one that's fitting together, each of us together, knitting us together, sanding down the rough edges. In fact, this participle, another quote, it's from construction terms. It represents the whole elaborate process of which the stones are fitted together. This process includes the preparation of the surfaces, the cutting and the rubbing and the testing of each stone, the preparation of the dowels and the dowels holes, and finally being fitted, the fitting of the dowels into the molten lead. Nothing is out of place or defective or inappropriate. Now take those ideas and apply them to the church composed of individual saints. So I think that helps to shed some light on that Greek word there. So being fitted and held together, something that God is doing. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones in his sermon series on Ephesians says, there's too much complacency. We need to understand dignity, the responsibility of church membership, why we have to plead with people to attend church and to do duties they don't grasp their calling. People think that they are conferring an honor to the church for even being loosely attached or honoring her with fitful attendance. They do not see that they are to make up his fullness and that there is no time to waste, and they must purge themselves of sin and seek holiness and growth and grace in order that they may arrive at this fullness. He's bringing in the aspect that we also have a responsibility to kill sin, right, and to live holy, pure lives. Each individual part of the body is working together, so fitted, held together with every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, it causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And that idea of building up, edifying, is what's in view here. So each individual part, real and lasting church growth comes when from every member fully using his or her gifts. It implies the close fellowship that one has with the Lord, and therefore one has on a horizontal plane with each other. And the body produces its own growth. It works together in love. So, back to the idea of the jumping from that. Hopefully that sheds a little bit of light on the Peter. So ask yourself, what are you contributing to the church? I haven't taken a survey here. These are just generic questions. The church owns your gifts. Remember, Paul begins Romans 12 with this, therefore I urge you by the mercies of God to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your, what? Reasonable service. It's just the reasonable thing you're to do as a child of God. Not half-hearted service, fully engaged. You're a vital part of the ministry at Grace Bible San Diego, and there's opportunities now. Talk to the deacons, ways that we can serve. And don't envy the gifts of others. Some may minister to thousands at the G3 conference or whatever, you know, and all of that. And, you know, we're not to be envious. The key is not how many you serve, but your faithfulness to God with the ability that He's given you. And that can be on a very, very small scale. It can be visiting a shut-in and reading the Bible to them, you know, and praying privately for the church, the Lord's Day, tomorrow, you know, just any number of things. It doesn't have to be a big public thing. So resolve to pour yourself into the service of King Jesus for His sake. And back to Psalm 145, just I'm still reflecting on that, the greatness and the goodness of God to us that we can just take for granted sometimes. Jonathan Edwards in his resolutions, one of them was resolved to live with all my might as long as I do live. That's resolution 6. Any final thoughts or comments on that?